Welcome to another Face Rocker podcast. I'm Des Dolly. Got my co-host and podcast producer Benji Dolly here with us today.
Hello.
And we're joined by our good friends John Carmen, Jake Andrews, Ruby Dog Movies.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey dudes. How's it going?
Good.
I feel like you guys are flanking me from both sides right now.
Yeah, we're surrounding you.
Yeah, you are. What's new, guys?
Oh, nothing much. I mean, we came out with a ball pit.
Finally, the video that yep. we've been pitching for 4 months now, it feels like, John?
Yeah.
How long has that been in gestation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the idea was, God, I don't even remember. We've had ideas forever, but then, yeah, in terms of actual writing and shooting and editing, it's like 3 months.
Good God, man. How does it feel?
It feels great.
Yeah?
People seem to really like it.
People do.
Yeah,
people
the reception's been good.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
There's very few comments being like, this sucks. You know?
But usually there's a lot.
No yeah, you feel like you there's a lot up, of hate always on the internet.
It's usually. The internet. You're going to get that.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be a lot more, like, you know, fake and gays.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Oh, but thank God that there isn't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was really pleasantly surprised.
I feel like we've weeded most of those folks out.
They'll never. You'll.
Yeah, Tiny Tank like, Warfare made sure
they're like
that.
Cockroaches.
Yeah.
They're always...
Well, that was my plan with that video. That was my full intention.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so we had Ball Pit come out, and then we had two film school videos, VFX, VGHS Hit Effect, and then Pro Tip from Senzaki, the king himself.
Ken Senzaki, our sound mix extraordinaire. Yeah.
He could be the first, like, stand-up comedian that uses, like,
that's like his prop.
Doing his bit while he's trying to record a
Maybe.
Clean track.
That'd be interesting.
I don't know how well that would go over. That'd be we'll pretty see. Fantastic if you actually committed to that.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna tank every take because this is my act, and people get mad at him, and it just fuels him. That's his thing.
He only performs on set.
Yeah.
The actual shoot.
Once they call, he has to wait till they call action. Quiet on the set, action. Actors start talking, and then Kevin cuts him off and goes into his bit. You just hear this guy telling weird sound laden jokes from like 30 feet away. Like, what the hell? Kevin,
I love
that
idea.
Go do that.
Yeah, Kevin, that's, yeah.
I'd like to give props to Kevin Senzaki because he honestly is a comedian, but with sound. Like, the sound design he did on Ball Pit added so many, like, little jokes and stuff to it that just made just punched up so many moments. So I want to give props to Kevin Senzaki. He's incredible.
Man, not enough props can be given to that guy. He truly is something special.
Yeah. I think he does it all.
We're blowing you kisses, Senzaki.
Yeah.
You're our main man. The thing we're here to really dig in today, well, the only thing that we can really, the only thing that we have been talking about all weekend is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Mad Max happened.
I mean, there's no words. I mean, it was the greatest thing ever. What more can you say?
So that's it for today's podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
Mad Max Fury Road, totally rad movie.
See
other than that,
time,
no other words.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, what can you say? Remember that scene? That was great. And then that was like, it's always all great.
Yeah. Well, we'll dig into Mad Max in just a second and spend the majority of the show trying to articulate our myriad of feelings on the subject. But other than that, I wanted to ask you guys, what else are you watching right now?
I got to give props to, this is just general shows that we're watching on TV.
I'm just curious, like what else do you guys do with your time when you're not, now that you're done with Ball Pit, you've had a chance to go home and catch up on some TV, do a little binge watching?
Okay,
I feel like you guys, you're our good.
Well, aside from like the obvious, Mad Men.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant ending. What more can you
Amazing.
Say than that?
Yeah, right. That's big news, right? Mad Men finale.
Yeah, Game of Thrones always pushing the envelope with the.
I know
of
the
violence.
Stone Men.
Stone Men.
Stone Men. That pissed everyone off. Those Stone Men.
See, I don't know. Feel free to spoil anything you guys want. But
yeah, they're catching a lot of heat for the Stone Men.
I'm two seasons behind on both.
Oh, you're two
shows.
Seasons behind.
Well, there was
on
a.
Both.
Yeah, there was a very disturbing rape scene.
Oh, another one.
Yes. And
it always happens.
It was one rape scene too many, it feels. It just people are really... And it wasn't... It was one of the weaker episodes of the season, too.
Yeah.
But just not even including that final
horrific scene, but
yeah,
it was one of the sloppier episodes I think ever.
Oh, yeah, well, every time they do stuff in the desert in that show, the quality just goes down. Like, it becomes like Xena, Warrior Princess quality when there's anytime it's like whatever unit they're shooting in the desert. You guys stink, okay? Saying it for the record. You guys stink.
You've been right?
You don't know
out.
How to film God. Sword fights.
Damn, John.
It's Sloppy Joe.
John just went so hard.
Sloppy Joe.
John just went so hard. John Carmen's thoughts are his and his alone and not reflected by the producers of the Face Rocker podcast.
Freddie agrees with me. No, that's not true. Freddie's on my side.
Whoa.
Okay. If he was here, he would be backing me up.
Yeah. I don't know. It's.
I know what you're saying. Those segments look... like they're shot on a budget compared to everything in
Even going back, remember when she was in Karth? And it was just so lame. Like remember it was like they were building up the what was that, like the House of the Undying or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, it's gonna be so crazy when she goes in there, and then she just goes in there, and it was just like whatever.
It's too dark. Those scenes when she's in this, when the little one, Arya's learning, doing this learning to become no one, I can't see anything.
Learning to become no one? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I can't see anything.
Did the dragon eggs hatched, right?
Yeah. You're that far behind?
Yeah, dude. They hatched, okay. And then you don't get to see them.
You're screwing with it. You know
that. One of them's on a road trip. One of the dragons took off for a road trip.
I remember the last I saw dragons, there were baby dragons. Yeah.
Oh, well, they're full grown and they're pissed.
Why are they pissed?
Because their mom's like not raising them right.
Yeah,
put two of them
I should just watch this. Should I watch this?
No, it's good.
It's good. No, it's a great show.
It's like
I love Game of Thrones.
Is it worth the money? I mean, this is the most expensive show on TV, right? Is it worth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put like $12 million in each episode. Is it worth that kind of money?
It's pulpy, stupid, like just
horrible desert scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bungle everything. Yeah,
it's pure pulp. It's not. I don't take it. I don't watch it like I do Mad Men, where I'm like, this is every frame of this is brilliant. Yeah. It's more just like, oh, like I wonder what crazy crap am I gonna see this week? You know, because they do try to do it on a scale bigger than. It's like it's you know what I mean. It's like Lord of the Rings or whatever. Like, but I mean, not that Lord of the Rings.
Well,
is way
that's
better
I mean
than
that's
that.
Pretty epic.
That's way, but just in terms of like. No one else is doing something of that scale on TV.
Well, all right. I guess I'll have to check that out. I'll put it on my
Mad Men finale, though, was
God, I watched 3 or 4 seasons of Mad Men, and I feel like I would have to start at the beginning because I don't quite remember everything that
happened. Yeah, you should start from
the beginning. Yeah, it's very full service.
It's very thick.
It'll happen in a year or two, or I don't know. That's a lot of TV to watch.
You got a company to run, man. I don't know if you're ever going to be able to watch it.
I don't know. The one thing I've been finding time for is Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah, so good.
Every
last
Sunday
was great.
Yeah, so, we've mentioned that before. That show is kind of like this strange sneak peek into how things have been going around here.
Yeah.
Over the last 6 months. You know? Trying to get financing and looking for an office and all the same problems we have. It's pretty interesting. We're not quite as funny as Ehrlich and the gang.
No. That show's fantastic. I can't get enough of it.
HBO's on fire.
Yeah. Why are they not on fire?
And they're
Have they ever not been on fire? Have they ever not been on fire? But I feel like right now they're
scorching.
Yeah.
Red hot, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Their documentary, the Kurt Cobain doc,
was
amazing. The Grim Sleeper. Have you heard about the serial killer in South Central Los Angeles who killed like... They estimate he killed like over 100 black prostitutes.
Oh my gosh.
And just no one really gave a shit. It's crazy. It's really good.
Because of their socioeconomic status?
Well, yeah, it has to do with how they don't trust the police, and it's ingrained in them to not go to them for help because they've seen it their whole lives. Like the cops aren't, they don't help them. They just.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Yeah, abuse them. And, it's.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
The docs are always good.
Jesus. Man, too much. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of good stuff on TV.
There's a lot, but you'll never catch up. That's one thing I'm finding now. I mean, I've found it for a while.
Your bubble's leaking.
The older they get, you're just not going to catch. You have to just accept that everything you want to see, you're not going to see. There's just not enough time.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah. There's just not enough time.
Jeez.
Much like life.
That's dark, man.
Just not enough time.
Just not going to do it, so why even bother? Yeah. What are we even doing here?
Well, I mean, I didn't go that far. Well, I was just talking about the shows I like to watch usually.
You
just
dipped
don't
your
have
toe
time.
In the deep end, sir.
You know, like Raw? I can't afford 3 hours anymore every Monday. 3 hours? How am I going to get 3 hours each Monday?
I love it. John, you were out of the room getting water. You missed this, but Benji started talking about Raw, and Jake just looked at him and went, that was total gibberish. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
These 3 hours is a lot, man. Right. I can't do 3 hours anymore. You're killing me, game. Triple A, wait, 3 hours?
It's 3 hours of mediocre content.
Yeah,
You can do 30 minutes of rock solid badass stuff, but
yeah.
they
got an hour. The hour they do on the network, on their network, the hour that the show they have that's only an hour long, that's like the best thing going right now, pro wrestling wise. It's great. 1 hour is perfect.
Yeah,
it's all the time you can get. All right. It's great.
Well,
I gotta say, I just finished listening. I don't, Benji, I don't even think you've heard this. CM Punk did this epic 2-hour tell-all podcast on Cobana.
Yeah, The Art of Wrestling.
And it's riveting. I don't even know anything or even watch wrestling, really. And it's riveting to hear how it really works, you know?
Because
CM Punk just does not care anymore. He's just...
No, he doesn't.
He's just telling... And, like...
And he's always been the...
Well, he's not bound by NDA or anything like that anymore, right? Nothing. So he can say... Yeah. No, yeah.
All the stipulations from his contract all ran out and everything. So
that sounds interesting.
Yeah. No, it's really fascinating to hear how it really works. And it's you know, they say wrestling's fake, but like, dude, it's dangerous. Like what he and
well, it's fiction, right? The story of wrestling is fiction, but even only to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about is that podcast digs into what was echoed on that Radiolab episode from a month or so back. It talks about how the real world politics and the goings on behind the scenes plays into their storylines, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it ends up with people who are in some, sometimes, you know, often really pissed off at each other, jump into a ring and then beat the tar out of one another.
Yeah, but it's just like Punk was just, by the end of his run, he was so beat up.
Yeah.
And they just were, and like the doctor, it's not like the doctors that they had on staff were just like really lazy and inefficient. And he was like working for like weeks with a staph infection.
Yeah.
And he finally just told like McMahon, like, I quit, I can't do this anymore. And he finally went to like see like a real doctor that wasn't like a WWE one.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, dude, you have a full blown staph infection. Like you could have died if you had waited any longer to go to like an actual doctor.
Hmm.
So,
and they have like over 320 dates a year. They have to, and that's whose name is on the marquee. That's who the tickets are for. You got to be there.
You just show up.
Show up. You have to.
Didn't a guy died because he kept wrestling with a broken neck a few weeks back?
Well, he didn't keep wrestling with a broken neck. He just actually landed on the ropes wrong. He's doing a spot where he lands on like the middle rope, like right on his chest. And he's a son of like third generation wrestler. He's one of Mexico's biggest stars.
Yeah.
And he just landed wrong and his neck just snapped from the whiplash. He just landed incorrectly and just...
Are you ever worried about that happening to you when you're out there doing
it? I never
thought
about it once. I did 3 pro wrestling matches in my life. And the third one, I let a guy do a pile driver on me. Even the WWE has outlawed the pile driver. Like it's so dangerous.
Really? They don't do that anymore?
No. Only the Undertaker is the only guy allowed to do it, and he only wrestles once a year. No one else is allowed to do it, and I let this guy do it to me. It was like my first ever actual match, and I was like, "Yeah, all right." He's like, "Put me up in a driver."
Use this totally
it.
Unsafe and illegal move on me. Yeah, I don't care. I don't know you.
The
or
most
trust
professional
you.
And biggest league in the world doesn't allow this because it's too dangerous. But yeah, you can do it to me at this AAA ball.
So
stadium.
How do you feel about that now? Do you feel like you dodged a bullet?
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Nope.
No. Really?
No,
but you'll go through a table again, right?
Oh, I can't wait till I go.
I mean, we don't want to spoil any of the what's coming up on this Hulu show we're doing, the new shorts show. But
yeah, that's
but
another
there
thing
is,
that's happening.
But there's rumblings that you may go through another table or two.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I can get my Mick Foley.
Can't say too much. Other than that, is filming right now. We were at set yesterday, and be going back tomorrow morning. And you're filming in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, I start on Monday.
Yeah, I'm prepping for the segment I'm directing right now. Which is complete and utter madness.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, we gotta get you guys involved too. Do we get you guys cast in there?
No.
Well, somebody,
no one gave me a role.
Somebody fucked that up.
I'm livid.
Yeah.
So is John, because he wanted to get back on the stage.
John's
been
dying.
John's like, no.
Well, I mean, we got this week's coming out now regularly, right?
You guys are a little
in the
busy.
Near future.
Yeah.
they're going to come out more readily.
Yeah.
Yep. Just saw the cut for the one you guys are cooking up right now that comes out on Thursday, right?
Yep.
That's the plan.
Yeah. A lot of them are going to be more bite-sized now, and then mm-hmm. like every once in a while we'll do like a big one, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ball pit size big?
Well, no, we'll just never, every time not be not that big. That big. That's as big insane. As it gets. But the one we just read, we just did a script read through.
Yeah,
you guys are developing right now is pretty epic. That's a follow up to one of your classics. But
yeah, we can't say anymore. Right say now. Nothing's official yet. Yeah.
Well,
there's so many fans that are going to be buzzing, so many. And speculating.
Oh, I know the commenters are a buzz right now.
They're in a tizzy.
Yeah, they are. Well. Let's take a quick break and talk about our new podcast sponsor, and then when we come back, let's just talk about
we gotta talk about Mad Max.
Yeah, the reason why we're here today.
Crucial.
Our whole my new reason for living.
I was just gonna say,
watch Mad Max again.
Like, the reason why we're here every day.
Yeah, the end all be all. All right, so we're gonna dig into Mad Max after this. Hey everybody, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about one of the Face Rocker podcast sponsors, Squarespace. Building a website can be tough. And even if you do know your way around coding, creating something that looks good and works well is a time-consuming affair. Whether it's for a business site, a portfolio, a restaurant, or whatever else, in this day and age, you probably need one anyway. Well, lucky for you, Squarespace makes it easy to build websites without breaking a sweat. Squarespace provides simple, powerful, and a beautiful website that looks professionally designed regardless of skill level, no coding required. Not only does Squarespace provide you with intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create your website with, Squarespace also has state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability. And you know you can trust in Squarespace for your website needs when millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world trust in them too. Seriously, you can't beat the ease and simplicity of Squarespace. Squarespace gives you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website for only $8 a month. That's right, you heard me, only $8 a month. You can even get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. So what are you waiting for? Start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FACERocker to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for the Face Rocker podcast. That's FACERocker, FACEROCKER. We want to thank Squarespace for their support of the podcast. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And we're back.
Here we are.
Yeah, it was a really long break. Yeah.
So, best movie ever made? Are we going that far?
It's one of the greatest action films ever made.
Do you get, yeah.
Do we feel like it's just because it...
Dude, you just called your shot hard.
And you guys have all...
I don't disagree.
You've seen it multiple times, right?
I've seen it twice now.
Okay, you've all seen it twice already? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, I've only been once, but I'm going to go sometime this
Fury
week.
Fury Road, the new George Miller written and directed film, also produced by him and so-and-so Kennedy. Gosh, I don't quite know. It's Miller-Kennedy production. The fourth entry in the series... it's definitely a sequel. I don't know if you could technically consider it a reboot.
Well, he had a likeness. Miller said it was like James Bond, kind of how it.
It's just another. Another entry in this series.
Still embodies that same.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made that it could fit in between a couple of the previous films that happened chronologically, but it's definitely the same character. I know there were some. Rumors that it was the feral boy from Road Warrior that grew up to be the Max in this film, which I completely disagreed with. And then Miller came out and squashed that anyway. So definitely just Max Rockatansky living in the post-apocalyptic wastes, kicking ass.
Yeah, it's honestly like, and I mean, I'm saying as someone who like grew up with Road Warrior and loves that movie, like this movie just blew the other ones out of the water. You know, to me, this is the only Mad Max movie.
Would you guys consider yourselves Mad Max fans? You know,
like yeah. Now I would. Like I liked them, but I wasn't.
Did you guys watch the movies as kids?
Yeah. I only grew up with Road Warrior. I went and watched Mad Max the first time, which I liked.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Beyond Thunderdome, but the consensus seems to be that's like a pretty bad movie. And Miller himself even admits that he was kind of checked out for that one.
That was definitely that came at a weird time. It was the second sequel of a series, and he had a bigger budget, and he was busy working with Spielberg on things. I think he had just come off the Twilight Zone movie, and he was sort of moving on. And I wonder if it's one of those things where he wanted to do Max, but the scenario had changed, the stakes had changed.
Well, apparently
Mel Gibson was turning into a huge movie star.
His producing partner had died right before they started shooting. Oh. And so they, I think like someone they had to bring in someone to just like co-direct with him.
He had a co-director.
And so, yeah, and so yeah. All of those, the majority of the movie takes place inside of these like dim, it's not like the cool, bright desert landscape. It's these like dim indoor weird cage matchy things with like they're on bungee cords in one scene and it just feels and his hair is like way
he's got the long hair he's got a bit of a different look
it's very that's like a mullet
the one we grew up with as kids that was the one that was getting constant play on TBS, I think. You know, it was on cable all the time.
They were trying to make it more family friendly, it felt like.
Years ago, if you were to ask me what I knew of Mad Max, I would just be pitching you the Max I knew from Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah.
You know, and then MTV and all that. I feel like everything ripped that look off for some time. And it wasn't until years later. I think it was when I was in film school. It might have even been Matt said I needed to go back and watch Road Warrior and saw it for the first time. And then it wasn't until recently I saw the original Mad Max. So I saw them in backwards order. What about you guys?
For me, it was like my dad in early age showed me Road Warrior. And
your dad's that, a fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was definitely just in terms of like pure great action movies. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like nuts. That's definitely.
Was that one of your favorites? Yeah.
Growing up, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but now.
Same for me. My dad showed me at a young age.
Really?
It was our male bonding experience.
Yeah.
Instead of going out into the woods, we.
Really? We that was it. Indiana Jones awesome. For me.
Yeah. Indiana Jones. Yeah. That's,
Temple
that's
of Doom.
Another one.
My dad showed me Temple of Doom and he's like, hey, I got something for you. That and then The Thing.
That's awesome.
He was like, then the sun went down and mom went to sleep and he's like, I got one more to show you. And then I had nightmares forever and I've never been the same.
Yeah.
You schooled me on Max when I moved out here.
Mm-hmm. I think that was when, you know, it was yet. About 5 years ago finally saw Road Warrior for the first time, came into it really late. Instantly one of my, classic action movie, just
so
badass.
Good.
Yeah.
Goes up there, the pantheon of, you know, most epic action movies of all time. You know, like T2 is another one that comes to mind. What else would you lump in that fake, useless list of epic action movies?
I mean, Die Hard.
Living on. Die Hard, absolutely.
That's like
Die Hard.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Hard, Predator.
Die Hard, Predator, Mad Max.
T2.
T2.
These are all bread and butter.
Those quintessential action movies that should live on
Matrix
in eternity.
Matrix is a huge deal for
Matrix.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring up the Matrix because the feeling I got in watching Fury Road was very similar to that level of excitement and wonder and awe that I had watching The Matrix. Mm-hmm. I haven't had since, by the way. Yeah. That's why I bring that up. I haven't been that just completely engulfed and whisked away into a fully immersive world and then just had my face rocked since The Matrix.
It was like getting off of a roller coaster. Like I was just jittery everything was pumping. I was just like that. I was just so excited. It was one of the coolest things I felt like I'd ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Absolutely.
Compared to like the other big hit this summer, The Avengers, like that movie, it's so overstuffed and it's all about the banter. That was when the movie truly came alive for me. It was like when they're doing their witty banter, because that's Joss Whedon's strong suit. But when it came to like the action, it was always just computer generated and just like the
feels like it's it was
you're
just watching like fully polished animatics.
Yeah,
I don't know. There were moments that there were flourishes that were really spectacular.
For sure,
you know.
Yeah, but
you want to give credit where credit is due. But God, you know, it was like 2 weeks ago we were talking about how that movie was a total blast, and now coming out of Mad Max, Fury Road, it's like the game has changed. A new bar is set.
Yeah. I don't know if this movie, Mad Max, will ever be matched again in terms of just
that's what it truly feels like,
practical effects and the amount of vehicles they use. Like, I don't know if that'll ever happen again.
It's just
I don't think it will.
It's so rare that like a movie, an action film. Action is typically, it's like considered the more base of the different film genres. You know, it's not like No one's expecting great art from an action film, but this was literally.
I don't know about no one. I think that's very absolute, but I know what you're saying.
Just
I feel like from a critical
in
standpoint.
In terms of like what's going to win Best Picture, usually people aren't going to think first thing.
As far as accolades are concerned. But then again, you know, to cite exceptions to that rule, you got films like T2 win a bunch of Oscars, you know, or. Your Lord of the Rings films, which are, you know, more fantasy, but the Return of the King is definitely high action,
it's
and that pulled in like nine Oscars.
It has great action in it, but this was literally like there was minimal dialogue. It was like poetry in motion,
the purest
form
of cinema. You know, we could have watched that with absolutely no dialogue, and that Miller cites that as one of his goals. His prime directive was, aside from making an entertaining picture, it was to make a movie that could be watched in any country, in any language, mm-hmm. And everyone gets what's happening in every step of the way. Just pure cinema. But I wanted to ask you guys, being fans of Mad Max and having seen all the films, have you seen all the films?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where does this movie fit in the franchise for you? Because there's a lot of debate over this being a sequel or a reboot. Or fitting between, say, Road Warrior and Thunderdome. Like, how do you view this in the chronology?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
like, where
yeah.
it came in the line.
Yeah.
It's just
I don't
that
even
good.
Really,
it doesn't matter.
I think that's a great answer.
Standalone
right?
thing.
It's blown them out of the water. Yes. I tried going back to the. You know, I was like watching the old ones, mm-hmm. like after seeing this, and I just. Couldn't sit still. I just kept thinking. I was like, you know what? I just want to go back to the theater and just watch that one again. Because don't even compare.
It kind of had this, it reminded me a lot of the Evil Dead franchise mm-hmm. in a way, like Sam Raimi kind of just got to remake his movie.
Yeah.
You know, like Evil Dead was just, him experimenting and he refined it and told the same, similar story with the same characters. And I feel like that's what we got with Fury Road. It took all the best bits from the franchise and. Just built off of that, and he spent, 12 years, they said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pre-production started like 12 years ago.
In his head, and then...
Like, one of the things we were just talking about yesterday or the day before is how you mentioned, and you're so spot on, every single thing, at least set design-wise and wardrobe, like, although it's amazing and everything's so cool-looking, everything had such a good... There was a reason for every single thing. Like, every mm-hmm. weapon a car had... made sense. It wasn't just to look cool.
They had,
it had a practical
for the cars.
Yeah,
they
like
had backstories.
For apparently they spent 12 years crafting a backstory for every little piece of not only the car, but like what was dangling from the mirror. Every car had its own mirror tchotchke. And there was a whole story about like the whose car it was and the person who drives the car and where they got the tchotchke and what the tchotchke means to them, and like it's just the level of detail. And watching it a second time, it was equally as impressive as the first. But you really start to pick up on all those little bits.
Yeah,
I feel like the replay, the rewatch value on that thing is just sky high.
Very high.
Yeah, and you just rarely get like something on that scale for an R-rated audience. Like they're not trying to sell toys to kids mm-hmm. with this movie. They just want to give you an incredible. Adult experience, and it deals with really heavy, like mm-hmm. twisted themes. I mean, they're like the central MacGuffin in this movie are like, essentially sex slaves,
Yeah, no, they that's exactly what they are.
But it's treated with such maturity and grandeur that it doesn't at any in despite how twisted and disgusting mm-hmm. the majority of the characters that populate this world are, like you just it feels just majestic and mm-hmm. and completely just mature, and
it's a very feminist action film. The women in that movie are more badass than Max or anyone else.
One of the greatest female awesome badass characters of all time, like up there.
Oh, Charlize Theron. It's totally
she's an ass kicker.
I don't know if I would say it's her movie. I feel like it's a dual effort. The title card.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
As Max and Imperator Furiosa. Because it's a buddy picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we had, like, you know, some of our coworkers are pretty outspoken feminists and mm-hmm. like who are, you know, usually first to speak up when they see something mm-hmm. like that yeah. isn't right in a film, and they were just glowing after this film, and that's mm-hmm. so rare to see, you know, someone mm-hmm. someone actually captures that feminist spirit accurately.
Would you guys be interested in seeing a movie say a sequel, like a spin-off that just focuses on Furiosa?
Absolutely.
That would be great. Story. Oh yeah.
That's I'd so love awesome, to know where right? they took her character.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens, you know?
Or, yeah.
Like in the next one, she doesn't have, both her arms are gone?
No, I don't so mean
two
don't
robot mean, arms? Yeah, dude.
Sure, why not? Linda Hamilton, the Terminator franchise, you know, just a badass female character. All the female characters. Those old women, the little old lady
with
the bag of seeds.
They were so
talks about
sweet.
How she's killed everyone she's ever met with a headshot.
Yeah.
You know? And she has so much pride. She doesn't want anyone to know that she's injured. You know, she covers up her wound, and she sits there quietly and stoically, and she just reaches for a little bag of seeds, and it's, just leave me alone. I'm just going to enjoy the landscape, you know? Fucking awesome. That woman who's a... I don't know her character name, but she was the nude woman who was bait up on top of the thing. She climbs down the rope, and then she gets that really rad moment during the final action scene where she, like, her motorcycle
spoiler
explodes.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. No, by now.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you're really screwing this up. But she, man, she just takes all those rad shots with that sniper rifle.
Yeah.
She gets, what, 15 seconds of screen time? That's more badass than most of the action stars we've seen all year.
All of the Scarlet Witch moments in Avengers combined. Yep. These.
I do not disagree. Favorite moments? Pick one. Can you narrow it down to one?
My favorite moment was when I realized I was only 10 minutes into the movie. Like, honestly, like, it was after, like, the first really big action moment, which, I mean, pretty much is the whole damn movie, but, like, 10 minutes in, like, something really rad happens just from start to finish, and then, like, I remember looking at you, and I was like, this thing just started.
It just started.
I started laughing, and I was like, holy shit, this just started, and all of that just happened. I cannot fucking wait.
It's like the climax of the other most awesome action movie you've ever seen.
Yeah, and it was just like the beginning. And I was like, this is going to be the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, that just happened, and I'm 10 minutes in. Like, what on earth could happen now?
Yeah. For me, I think my favorite perk is what's really, especially in action films, if you make a great villain, it's like, well, how are you going to kill him?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite action movies have great bad guy deaths.
Yeah.
And this bad guy death was exceptional.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
It was a great, great bad guy death. And I can't stress that enough, how satisfied I was with
absolutely.
That bad guy death.
This is if I'm not mistaken, this is the first Mad Max film, and I'm just going off of a really hazy memory here, a recollection of the previous three films. I think this is the first Mad Max film where one of the heroes of the stories actually physically takes out the villain by their own hand.
As opposed to, like, a car.
As opposed to the like villain's own hubris being their own undoing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of accidents that happen,
especially
in the first two films that take out the villain. This is the first time you really get that, you know, fist pumping moment.
Yeah,
where they take the guy out. Mm. How would you? Speaking of villains, how would you rank your Mad Max villains? Is there any contention? Because I know exactly right.
I can't, like, Dez. You keep trying to bring these other Mad Max films into it. They don't hold a candle to this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're always going to think that, or are you going to go back and be able to enjoy Road Warrior after this?
No, I tried. I tried watching Road Warrior after it.
Maybe
it's
too soon.
It cannot compare. No, it's the pace of it. It was a different time. The people are harder to. It's harder to keep people's attention now, and this movie knew that.
Yeah.
And every frame was jam packed with detail and action, or incredibly intense performances. Like even Tom Hardy, the intensity he brings to the role is, like, exponentially higher than what Mel Gibson's just kind of, like, half grinny. You know, he's like Mel Gibson just has, like, cocky swagger with Max. Like, Tom Hardy lives up to the title of Mad Max. He's mad. He's crazy.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
And he's just getting this twitchy.
Someone made a joke that, like, oh, this new Mad Max isn't very angry. It's like, no. It's not called Angry Max.
Yeah.
It's called Mad Max. Mad as in he's losing his mind because he's by himself in the wasteland for God knows how long now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's awesome. And a guy like fighting all of his own demons. Yeah, it's just awesome.
like muttering and twitching and, yeah. And he can't even, like, he's not even as good a fighter as Imperator, because like he's so haunted by his demons. Mm-hmm. And like that, like one of my favorite moments was when they have that fist fight together. That was
when he's chained.
The whole thing's
Nux. About
the whole thing's filled with car chase, but the fist fight they have is one of the best fist fights I've ever
that's
seen.
That's why I feel like awesome. That's a way to do a sequel, right?
If
I feel like you can't top the car action, at least not until like some sort of new technology it can advance stunts and there's whatnot. No, like I don't know. I feel like
the greatest part of the actual car stuff was the pole scene where you were telling me they had to kind of invent a new technology for poles or whatever in order to do that.
I read an article somewhere that when they were storyboarding the film, you know, and they're in pre-production, the decision was we can affix poles to the tops of cars and we can have guys rigged up there, but then when it comes down to the actual sequence where the poles are dipping down and the guys are grabbing people out of cars, it's physically impossible. We don't have any technology that would allow us to do that. It's very dangerous and we don't want people getting wrapped up under vehicle tires and stuff. So we're just going to shoot all that pole sequence against green screen, and we'll comp all that in. And then, you know, the famous story is the Australian valley where they were going to film got rained out. They had, like, the rain of the century, and it turned into these fertile grasslands, and they shut down production for a year waiting for it to dry up, which never happened. So they moved to Africa, Namibia, where they filmed, they ended up filming. Yeah. And during the course of that year, while production was shut down, all the stunt riggers, you know, were just tinkered in their workshops, you know, and just devised a way to actually shoot that safely and physically. So like, you get something that wouldn't have otherwise happened if not for the extreme circumstances of that production, mm-hmm. you know? Like that coupled with the 12 years it took to get that film off the ground, you know, and then the 3 or 4 they were in production when they kept having false starts and they were going through, you know, trouble with getting Mel Gibson and the fallout in his career and recasting with Heath Ledger and then recasting again, you know, like the guy just had all that time.
Yep.
Well, he almost made a fucking Justice League movie.
Right?
Which would have sucked.
Do you
want to
see it? Are you curious to see
compared to this movie,
a Miller Justice League movie?
He would have made it awesome.
George Miller's is too good to do.
He would have made it awesome. And you know who was supposed to be Wonder Woman?
You're not curious? Okay, let me propose a hypothetical scenario for you. He still gets to make his next 2 Mad Max movies, unencumbered. And in addition to, he has the opportunity to bring you a Justice League movie. Would you be interested in seeing that?
I mean, if someone was going to make a Justice League movie, I'd say George Miller is one of the greatest action directors of all time, and yet it would be a dope movie, but I'd rather he devote all of his attention towards the world he's already made, which is way better. I think is this Mad Max movie, if you combined every superhero movie ever made, it doesn't add up to this Mad Max film. That's my opinion.
It's pretty freaking hard to beat, man. It's a perfect movie. Is there anyone who doesn't like it? Have you talked to anyone who's like, man, I don't know.
No, I haven't met that person yet.
But, I don't want to.
Do you want to know that person?
Yeah, I mean, I just.
I mean, there was one. There was at least one rotten review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yeah,
right?
there's 4.
There's 4 now.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are? I want to look them up actually.
4.
Find these kids.
But dude, I don't think you guys even realized it. But when we all sat in like one row.
We filled up. Where were we? We were at the AMC in Burbank, right?
You guys were all there opening night.
We were all jazzed. And we were all like making noise when awesome stuff was happening. But there was this guy like right in front of me who was livid that we were
that
like,
we were so
that
amped.
We were doing the woos and the claps.
We were pretty loud, but we were just having a ball. It was like we were on a roller coaster.
He kept looking back.
Quarter turns.
And glaring.
Giving you that Seinfeld quarter turn.
I feel bad, but I mean, I also don't.
Yeah.
It sounds like that guy is no joy.
That's my
no
favorite
joy
thing about going to the movies, life, especially opening weekend, is when it's packed and you can feel the energy of everyone else
around
you.
Well, we ruined
like,
one
they
man's
like it, you know?
Mad Max movie going experience.
You know what? No, we didn't ruin it. We prevented him from ruining it for us. We did everything we could to make that the most awesome experience for him. Here we go. 2 hours of action scenes that are well-crafted and entirely lacking in suspense, with some clever but fake-looking special effects. Okay. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want anyone seeking this guy out and beating him to a pulp.
Hint, hint.
No, I did not say that. Where are the other negative ones? I only see one.
Well, you have to pull up all the...
Yeah.
No suspense.
They're freeing sex slaves.
The mud scene. Like, the mud scene alone. The bog. That was one of the, like, in terms of action, like, that one... Suspenseful. Like, if we were not talking about explosions and sweet visuals, that was as suspenseful as it got when they were in the mud pits. That is... Oh, my God.
Every sequence, man.
And every sequence was different, and it was a car chase there and back, and everything still just was so incredible and different and new and done well.
I don't know. I'm looking for more negative reviews, and I just can't find them. I believe you that they're on here, but okay, wait, here we go. Plot, dialogue, intelligence, subtlety, suspense, wit, chemistry, and logic get tossed out the window in George Miller's fourth milking of this franchise.
Granted, that reviewer, there's a picture of him. It looks like he's on death's door, so he might be...
Maybe it's just not his movie. A mindless, expensive B-movie that's more exhausting, tedious, and nauseating than exhilarating. Look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and I think it's like fair to share a few negative reviews since we're over here just pumping this thing up as the second coming, but... I don't know, man.
Oh, that reminds me. Yeah. Starting today, and every month from today for the next 3 months, they're releasing prequel comics. So the one that just came out today is about the backstory for what's his name, Immortan Joe and Nux. You have to find out how they came to be.
That's very cool.
And then next month they're going to talk about Furiosa and,
All right, now I want to ask you this question, right? Because here's what I'm thinking. I've been thinking about, God, I love this movie, and not only do I want to watch it all the time forever, but I want sequels, right? But what do I want to see in these sequels? Do I want them to explore these characters' backstories? Do I want to go see Gastown? Do I want to go visit, the Bullet Farm and all that stuff? And, although that all sounds super fun and good, I am totally content with how perfect and singular that film is. And I almost don't want anyone's backstories spoiled for me in any other medium, because I find so much joy out of crafting all of that in my own mind. It's he's put this work out there into the public, and you get to fill in the blanks, You, through production design and art direction and Immortan Joe's performance, you fill in what you think his backstory is, And I feel like that's whatever you come up with would be way cooler than any graphic novel. That's my own opinion.
This is where you and I differ.
Yeah. You just want it all and you need all the
answers. Well, dude, if it's fan fiction, I'm not going to read it. But if it's coming from the guy himself, I want to know what he thinks is the backstory. You didn't like they deeply explore Mike's backstory in Better Call Saul.
Right.
And you just wanted to preserve your fantasy of him from Breaking Bad because they had minimal backstory in that. But I thought that was like the high point was like, I get to finally find out why the hell this guy is. And after years of imagining, I get to finally find out,
So you get some closure on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I get the, your interest there.
And for you, you were like, well, now that just ruins it for me. Every time I'm going to rewatch Breaking Bad. Speaking of Jake sprung a leak. We're up to our necks in boba right now. Boba tea.
The boba balls are so good.
I don't know if I'll go back and retract my statement. I won't say it ruined it.
Yeah.
Because Breaking Bad is its own thing, But yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying right now. You and I just have a difference of opinion there, and that's totally cool.
I get both sides. I like the mystery, especially if we're talking about like Mike. I think he's scarier not knowing.
Something happened, you don't know what it is, right?
Knowing that he's become that, it's scarier.
I'll cite a specific example in Fury Road. Max, they're in the bog. Max walks off with the can of gas and the gun and the grenades.
Oh, God.
And Furiosa says, what if you don't come back in 15 minutes? He says, well, then you just keep going, of course. And he walks off into the dark of night, disappears in the mist, and you just see this you hear this loud screeching twist of metal, and you see this explosion, and moments later Max reemerges from the mist, and you didn't see what happened to the Bullet Farmer. You can only infer from the way he looks and knowing what you know of that character, yeah. Max Rockatansky. And is that not way cooler?
I thought that was amazing.
You know, than seeing him blow the guy up, like at least having that one moment where, because the rest of the movie is two straight hours of nonstop mm-hmm. action, getting one moment where you get to imagine what that awesome scene was.
Sure, but I also would have loved to see him blow him up too.
Sure, that's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do a graphic novel in that moment. Just how Max blew those guys away.
Dude, yes. Frame by frame. Just every bloody detail.
Yeah. Okay. I want you guys. All right. So you were. It's not that you refuse to rank the Mad Max films, but you said unequivocally the other ones do not matter.
I mean, they are great for the history of cinema.
Okay, I want to make sure this is going on record.
Someone alive right now in this yeah. moment, don't even bother to watch those ones. Just see this one and then see it again and again and again.
I mean, I can't argue. I mean, you should go see them because they're also awesome. But, I mean, this is...
If you're
not going to go home and watch T2, go watch this.
Sure.
Right
and
now,
if you only, yeah, this is like. a desert island movie. If you only got to take one Mad Max with you,
yep.
I don't think there's
or
any debate that this is the one you take.
Take this. Any yeah. movie. Yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite Max? In all four films, any version of Max, since they're all slightly different versions of the same character.
I like this one.
I think this is my favorite one, Tom yeah. Hardy's. But yeah. then, I mean, Road Warrior would be.
Tom Hardy's great. I do.
Close second.
It's.
I like
it,
Gibson.
Can I say Ty? Because yeah. I love Gibson and Gibson with the dog.
No, the dog's incredible.
The Gibson and dog dynamic yeah. is pretty friggin' awesome, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just blazing through these rank lists now. Amort and Joe favorites, right?
Yeah.
You're all in agreement.
Clearly.
Okay. Yeah. So rank the rest. Yeah. Rank the other three Mad Max supervillains.
Just walk away.
Yeah, Jake, you second. Yeah, that's, what's his name?
Humongous?
The Humongous from Road Warrior is your number two?
Yeah, well, it's not fucking Tina Turner, I'll tell you that.
yeah. Well, where do you put her? Does she get third place or fourth?
Fourth.
Yeah, and then you'll go with Toe Cutter,
yeah. Who?
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen... the entirety of uh-huh. the first one, but
he's got this really cool moment.
Yeah,
where he's like walking away from this guy, and he spins around really
yeah,
quick.
He puts
his hands
on his
shoulders.
Face.
He goes, "Remember,
yeah.
the Noid Roider," and you're like, "Okay, this guy is really cool. He's got a lot of charisma."
Yeah,
I would actually put him as number two.
Yeah,
as much as I love the Humongous, the Humongous is kind of a dipshit.
Humongous is just more quotable
compared to
we do this my way.
We're my way.
He's an idiot.
We're gonna kill off.
Toe Cutter's pretty great. He's more maniacal. And I feel like he's capable of far more sinister things.
He's definitely the craziest of all.
Yeah.
Like, he's a total psycho.
Tina Turner. She, runner-up. Fourth runner-up.
A great singer.
Sure.
Not the best Mad Max film.
The Humongous's biker guy with the mohawk and his weird
he's great too.
Man slave.
The best slacky, you know? How would you rank the villain sidekick?
Well, the other Humongous guy, the new Mad Max.
Erectus.
He was great.
Erectus is great.
Yeah. He's a wrestler, right?
I would put the Mohawk guy. I'd put Wes the Mohawk guy from Road Warrior.
He was great.
At the top of my list, though. He's pretty awesome. He can't be beat. Him with his boy slave.
Yeah, his boy slave that gets killed by the wildling.
The wildling with
the boomerang.
The boomerang. Good stuff.
It is. It's what a sweet franchise.
Right? What did you guys?
I mean, I don't think I really gave it enough credit for just how sweet it is.
Did you expect this when you heard that they were bringing back Mad Max? Were you just like, what? Another remake? Or are you guys excited?
I was really excited.
Yeah.
When I knew Tom Hardy was going to be Mad Max, I was like, that's a great call.
He's awesome, man. Actually, there are a lot of people on the internet who are afraid to go see the movie because they don't want to see a version of Max without.
It's okay. Yeah. Take the plunge. Go for it.
That men's right group who thought it was like feminist
just
propaganda.
Just the start of that right there.
Weird, man. Weird. Okay, so before we wrap this up, if you guys got to do your own Mad Max sequel, if you got to pitch your version to George Miller, do you have any thoughts? Where would you take the franchise? Where do you want to see it go? You know? Like, what would be your pitch to top that nonstop vehicular mayhem that you just experienced?
I'd say let's take it to the sky, George. What about blimps?
Blimps? And air vehicles?
Air vehicles.
Yeah. Can we do some because we already stuff know. We've established, yeah, that there are helicopters, self-made helicopters.
Can we can we get some high, cool flying vehicle action?
Yeah. I read that there were supposed to be hovercraft.
What?
In this film. The boys
that could be cool.
Gas Town, I think it is, have hovercrafts. But we ended up not seeing them, so maybe we'll get some hovercrafts. Aerial battles would be pretty rad.
Explore the ocean, maybe. Where's the ocean? What's that like?
Yeah. Would that just become Waterworld, though?
It could, but Waterworld, in theory, could be should have been very cool.
Yeah.
It is should've really been. Cool. Movie rocks.
John, what's your pitch?
Where do you want to see it go, the original, at least? Well, I think it'd be kind of cool to bring up, like, the original Mad Max. Takes place like in the countryside. There's no desert really. He takes off for the desert at the end, and
right.
And but even though the apocalypse has kind of already happened, Law and Order have kind of disbanded. There's still some like on the countryside. There are still like people trying to maintain order.
Civilization hasn't completely crumbled yet. I mean, there's a guy and a girl. There's like a couple eating ice cream.
Yeah, you know, there's restaurants. Yeah. Remember, there's a restaurant with a sign that says like, "If you can smell it, we don't serve it." You know, like there's this weird alternate take on actual like organized society. So I like to imagine that, like, all that stuff in the desert is going on, meanwhile in the countryside,
there's some vestiges of society still trying to hold it together. Yeah, so there are fan theories that Max just chooses to live out there. With the maniacs,
yeah.
He could go back.
When his wife and kid die, he takes off. Yeah, so
which is really interesting.
So I'd like to see, like, there's probably some, you know, parts of society that are more less barbaric,
yeah.
But probably messed up, but for completely different reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see like Max essentially bring that kind of mayhem to a different kind of twisted society that's not this barbaric warlord.
Yeah.
It kind of very much reminded me of like African warlords. I think that's what they're kind of going for with this. Like just a different, maybe, you know, I hate to bring up a different post-apocalyptic movie. It's not the greatest movie, but
Doomsday.
Interesting ideas. I have not seen that. I was going to refer to...
I brought
to,
it up as a joke. Wouldn't that be a great double feature? Doomsday and Fury Road?
I still have not seen that.
It's not great. It's not great. It's got a couple of moments that are worth checking out.
You remember Land of the Dead? Is that the one with Nick Nolte? Not Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
No, not Nick Nolte.
What are you talking about?
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
I would totally watch a Nick Nolte zombie movie. Yeah. Too. George Romero zombie movie.
Yeah.
Dude, that sounds awesome. But I saw Land of the Dead.
Where it's a pretty cheesy, not the best movie, but there's interesting ideas behind it. How like. It's this enclave where it's very, it's like...
There are resources being hoarded in a skyscraper where people, the elite, the super wealthy are trying to hold it together. And I read that George Miller, I don't know if this actually works its way into the fabric of the film. It's definitely not in the text of the film itself, but in his backstory for Immortan Joe, he actually has access to an old shopping complex, like a huge mall that's been covered up by dust. That's stocked full of supplies, which is where he can go and get a lot of extra things he needs to run a society. I don't know. That was part of the original planning. I don't know if I would technically say, you know, that doesn't really come across in the text of the film itself, but I could totally see something like that happening, right? I don't know. Me personally, I want to see, I'd be down to see another Furiosa movie, but since I feel like we did just get that, I would love to see a straight on new Mad Max film. And watch him go off into the wastes, see him try to, you know, find a new ride, put a new car back together, a new V8 Interceptor. And
gets a dog.
Get a new dog and see where he goes. Yeah.
I want to see what Bold Town's all about.
You want to go visit Bold Town?
That name, just Gas the imagination, Town, just what that could, what that fortress could be like.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get through the walls or getting inside or, I mean, even just driving past it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to look at it. That's all I want.
Well, there's an art book that's, I think, on Amazon now. I don't know if it's definitely available for pre-order if it's not available, if it's not yet shipping. But it is like a hardcover art book. All the art direction, you know, collected over 12 years. The design
that's awesome.
Of that's really Fury good. Road. Yeah. I was checking some stuff. You should see, there's a lot of really cool stuff in there that didn't make it
that sounds awesome.
Into the film. Yeah.
Yeah, those cars were amazing. Like the one's a tank, but it has the shell of a car. And then like even there's shells of cars on
top of
on
it.
The truck, the giant huge 18-wheeler or whatever. Yeah.
And I love that Immortan Joe is so obsessed with procreation that his car looks like it's fucking another car. You know?
Oh, that's funny.
He's got he's got like one chassis riding up behind another one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like nice little, everything comes down to character, right? Yep. Anyway, oh, I would also recommend the soundtrack. You guys haven't downloaded the soundtrack yet? It's just friggin' rad, man.
Awesome.
Cruising down the 101 listening to that thing, I feel like I'm in my own war rig.
Like, that'd be dangerous. If you had, like, a Hummer and you were blasting that, you would run some shit over. There'd be no way to not. I would.
There's also a great George Miller interview on this podcast called Happy, Sad, Confused.
Okay.
It's like an hour long, and definitely recommend checking it out if you want to hear wise words from the man himself.
I think he also just did a separate exclusive interview with Fandango.
Fandango.
Ooh. Getting the
bringing out the big guns.
Getting the scoops with GM. Anyway, we should wrap it up because we could gush about this all day, but I feel like we're going to start repeating ourselves here. I would rather go watch it again than sit here and talk about it.
Yeah, let's go right now.
Maybe we'll do that.
3D?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
I have not yet seen it in 3D, so let's do it.
That's true.
Also want to see it in black and white. George Miller says the best way to watch this film is in black and white. Sounds like interesting. Jake's not having it.
Maybe George. I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Where can people follow you if they want to do so on the tweetsverse and the Grandsville and all that?
At Ruby Dog Movies.
Yeah.
Jake is always on it. It's amazing.
I don't. You hand her our social media. You're Jake. The social media manager.
You abstain?
Or no.
What? You're giving away your email? Don't do that.
No.
Jake just labeled off his Gmail. We'll have to bleep that.
Why would
you
anyone?
Know what? I don't want anyone to follow me.
I mean, granted, there are probably some people who want.
I don't.
Your
I'm
Gmail.
Not a very.
You know, Jake, much like Max Rockatansky, is going to disappear back into the waste. He doesn't want anyone following him. Benji, where are you at?
Benji underscore Dolly.
At Des Dolly. Thank you guys for spending another hour talking about Mad Max.
Thanks, yo.
More than anything else.
Of course.
wait, before we go, Jake, do your Immortan Joe impression.
That was a spot check.
I feel like I could do it so shit.
Right? Exactly. He threw you so hard on this spot.
Yeah.
Just say it.
There we go.
No, come on. You got to say the line.
Isn't that how I do it? Your favorite line.
It's
you say
his
it
impression.
All
it's my property. That?
Yeah. Is that what you wanted, Joe?
I wanted
my favorite Immortan Joe line in the whole movie?
Mediocre. Mediocre.
Anyway, on that note, thank you guys for joining us for another podcast. Subscribe. Leave your comments below. We'll answer your questions on the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Anyway, we'll see you at the movies. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye, y'all.